Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Benching in the Kitchen. I'm your host, Pablo Acosta. And actually, I'm going to take that back. I'm the co-host of this podcast. I believe that the Holy Spirit, and I am firmly standing strong in that the Holy Spirit is our host. I just happen to be the one who turns on the microphones, turns on the equipment, and just speaks. So I'm amazed and in love that he's still giving us more people to interview. I'm just flabbergasted. That's the word I want to use. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this interview. It's going to be amazing. Today, I have an amazing person. I found her through a website called Audrey. I listened to some of the podcasts. I went online and researched her, and it's just amazing work that she's been given by the Lord to work on, and I can see the results, and I can feel the results. So, could you tell us your name?
Hi, yeah. My name is Jill Monaco.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for accepting this invitation. We spoke briefly about it, and I just thank you for the obedience of listening and just being a part of this. Thank you for taking time off your busy schedule, your family, to do this. You know, so it's amazing when you guys do that, and I appreciate it.
Oh, it's such an honor, especially when you feel the prompting of the Lord. Like you said, you know, we don't really know each other, and God is using technology to connect believers all over the world. And so it's really fun to be here.
It's awesome. And I'm telling you, I'm empowered. The Holy Spirit comes in and it just tells me, all right, get excited because it's about to be a good one. Every interview is a good one, by the way. There's no bad interviews. But I know, you know, every time I feel it, like, he just empowers me. I can't stop moving. So, but Jill, like any other interview, we began discussing one verse that fits the podcast, and God inspired me to talk about it. And this comes from Philippians 2:12. And just tell me what your understanding is, what you get from it, what would you like to impart from it, okay?
Sure.
So Philippians 2:12 reads, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." How does that touch your heart? What is your understanding?
Yeah, the first thing I think of is, man, I would really want to go to there's great Bible resources. You know, fear and trembling in those days is a little bit different than what we take it with. You know, we can hear fear of the Lord and we think, I got to be scared of God and be obedient because he's going to punish me. And he's not, I laugh because that's not how he is at all. But it's really like reverence and awe. That we work out our salvation, meaning we're in a process. Nobody comes to, you know Jesus and then is a perfect Christian after that. We can see examples throughout scripture of you know, Paul and Barnabas, like they split ways at some point. And so it really is a process of walking out with God the gifts that he's given to us through his son Jesus as a gift of salvation. And when we look at the benefits and the privileges we have as a son or daughter of God, what we're learning and discovering, all the things that he's given us, not just for ourselves, although he loves to bless us personally, but for others. And so that we will know him, know who God is, receive that for ourselves, and then also represent him to others. So as we are working out our salvation in fear and trembling, we are in process of bringing glory to God and making mistakes and saying we're sorry and trying better next time and letting him love us along the way and doing it with reverence and awe.
See, and that's why you were supposed to be here today, because that's an amazing perspective. I enjoy every single one of them. It just keeps adding on to my understanding of this verse. And that's why I love asking this. So thank you for that. It's so cool to hear another perspective, another fresh perspective. We want to get to know you a little bit. I read something about you, but I would love for the listeners to get to know you a little bit of your background. And this is the part where you share as much as you like, as little as you like. You know, tell us a little bit about you. Where do you work? If you're married, if you have kids, and what church do you attend to?
Yeah, sure. Well, I grew up in the Chicago suburbs And I was a musical theater actress. And so I traveled the country and the world singing and dancing and doing all of that. And I only mention that because God is so good. He doesn't waste anything. When I got saved, I left that industry and I went into ministry full time. And I worked for several churches and nonprofits. And now I run my own ministry. And it's just Jill Monaco Ministries. And I help people encounter God's presence and get unstuck is the easiest way to say it. I help people overcome fear and rejection and shame. And a lot of that comes out of my own story, which I'll tell you in a second. But I am not married and I don't have children. Always wanted kids. Just didn't happen for me. I attend a small local church. They do home church and home groups. Part of that is because I was in Texas for 10 years and I had a beautiful church and community there. And then I came back to Chicagoland and took a while to find a place. And God's called me to smaller community, which I really enjoyed. So going back to just what I do now, I am a speaker. I speak at conferences. Right now it's a lot of online conferences. I have a podcast of my own called The Jill Monaco Show, where I interview people, authors, speakers, friends that really our focus is talking about how to love God, love ourselves, and love others. I have a passion to just love well. And I think a lot of times we're not really sure how to love others because we don't know how to love ourselves and we don't know how God loves us. So I have a podcast. And then I'm an author. I published a book called The Freedom Coach Model, which is on Amazon. And that was really, it's more like a devotional book where I have like 25 different topics where I teach a little, and then I lead people in how to pray and hear God's voice and a place to journal, and I give some prayers. And so, you know, overcoming fear is one of them, overcoming rejection. But that really came out of my coaching. So I'm also a certified coach with the International Coach Federation. And that just means that I've gone through some training and have some certifications in traditional coaching, life coaching, business coaching. But what I've created in the Freedom Coach Model is something I've trademarked called Freedom Coaching. And what that really is when someone comes to me and they're stuck or they want to set goals, I incorporate prayer. I incorporate, okay, well, let's stop. You don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Let's hear God. Let's pray and hear Him together. And so I coach people on how to encounter God's presence because I really believe that's where freedom comes from. And I think that's pretty much it. You know, I do mentorship groups, I have some courses and things like that. But it's just such a joy to serve God. The reason I think I do so many different things in the ministry is because there's been a season where God's like, now do this. And so I'm always adding new ways. It really is to minister to people. There's just a new need. And I believe as believers, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And if you see a need and you have the capacity, and well, even if you don't, God gives you the opportunity that we can meet that need. And so it's such a joy to serve the body of Christ.
I think you're right. I resonate with those thoughts because that's where I tell my wife, I was like, that's where I feel the most useful. You know, yeah. Not that everything else, like my job is good. I love what I do. But those moments when you're sitting across from someone, you're like, you need to run to Jesus. Incorporate yeah. Jesus into your life. Those are the moments where it's like, wow, we're doing His commission, right? Yeah. I love that. So thank you so much because that's who God was picturing me to be in that essence, right? He took me to be a biblical counselor and He's like, that's what I want for you. I want you to help my children come back to me. That's it. That's wow. all we want you to do. So it's, you know, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And I said earlier, like, He doesn't waste anything. Like I laid down like the acting for ministry. And then the last few years, He's brought me back into it. So I'm doing voiceover books for Christian books and, you know, other little things. So it's so fun. Like when we just walk with God, nothing is I shouldn't say nothing is no forever, but some things are not no forever. Sometimes it's just a shift or an adjustment that He wants you to make, but He uses the whole everything that you have, every skill you have, he uses, whether it's in the marketplace or in ministry.
Yeah, what was meant for good, for evil, he'll use it for good.
Amen.
Every time.
Yeah.
When did your relationship with Jesus begin?
Oh, such a funny story. So it was the transition between me acting full time and then going into ministry. So there was some, I'm SAG and AFTRA, so the actors unions, and there was a strike going on, and that meant I couldn't work and I needed a job to pay the bills. And I was going through some personal things too, and just wasn't doing live theater at the time. And so I remember driving down the road and I was like, God, I am so tired of being in this industry where I'm always hustling for the next job. And I always have to be careful of what I look like and what I weigh and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, Jesus, and I don't know why I prayed this. I mean, I didn't have a relationship with God. I was raised Catholic, but at this time I was not walking with him. And I just said, I want to work for you, like really close to the house, like 5 minutes from the house. And I dismissed it. I had started, I was going through so much pain that I started going to church, because in your spirit, you know, the Bible says even the rocks will cry out. Like, even though I was distant from God because of some pain that had happened to me in my childhood, and I discussed this on my blog, and but I was abused by a priest as a child, and then I had, you know, lots of spiritual abuse, even in ministry. But all that pain drives you to the presence of God, if we'll listen to his whisper that calls us into truly his most loving embrace. And so at this time I was hurting, and I started going to church because I knew I needed God, but I didn't really know what he had to offer. I didn't know him. I didn't know. I still had the little bit of, if I mess up, he's going to be mad at me and punish me. And so I started going to this little church, and they needed someone to direct the dramas and arrange the worship music. And they offered me a part-time job. And I thought, oh, good, this will just pay the bills. And wow, I get health insurance. And so here I am on staff at this little church, and they don't know I'm saved. And I don't know I'm not saved, because I knew of Jesus. I grew up at church. But so eventually the worship leader steps down and they said, oh, you can sing, so you need to lead worship. And I was like, what? Like, I went home and I was like, this is not a good idea. Like, my life was still, I was not living pure. I was, you know, I had a boyfriend and doing things you're not supposed to do if you're a Christian. And so I went home, and I'll never forget it. I sat on my bed and I just started weeping. And I had told, I'd been on staff a couple weeks. So I'd been, you know, in church hearing the word. And I was like, God, I can't do that. I can't. Like, behind the scenes was fine to be a hypocrite, I guess, but being on a platform was my whatever reason lie in the sand. And I just told God I was sorry. And I had tried, you know, so many times in my life to be good, quote unquote good. And so I said, God, if you will help me to not sin, I will do this, because I need the job. And it's kind of like God twisted my arm into ministry, you know. I would not recommend this. This is kind of like one of those things where you see someone do a dangerous act and you say, this is done by, you know, professionals. Do not do this at home.
The warning.
Yeah. Although I wasn't a professional. So I now, looking back, I know that I went to God. I put my faith in him. I said, I'm sorry for my sins and I want to be better, but I need you to help me. And I will give my life to you if you will help me. And he answered that prayer, which many denominations will call that the prayer of salvation. And there may be even people listening right now that are where I was. And it's so simple just to like close your eyes and say, I need you, help. I mean, it could be a simple, I accept Jesus as my savior. You died so that I could figure this out, and I want to do it with you. And so that's how I got saved. And then I was the worship leader at that church, and it really wasn't for a while later that I really got more discipled, that I was like, oh, I was not saved before that. So that is how, and I've been in ministry ever since.
Awesome. Yeah, when I got saved, same thing. I jump into ministry.
Yeah,
I didn't want to leave. You know, it's like I tell some friends and people that listen to it, the story. You know, I tell them it's like when you're a child and you get hurt, or you have a nightmare. I think the nightmare sounds better because my daughter does that. Mm. You don't want to leave the sight of your parents.
You know?
And so when I get saved, I'm like, well, nightmares are gone. I can't leave. If I leave, I may get some nightmares.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah.
Right? It's cool. Let's talk about disciplines. And sometimes I say routines, but some people are like, oh, they're not routines, they're disciplines. So let's call them disciplines. I think it sounds a little bit better.
Okay.
So how do your day rolls, you know? So let's get into that. What is the first thing you do when you wake up?
Okay, so can I be a not perfect Christian right now?
Oh, I think we all are. Don't worry.
Okay, great, great. First thing I do when I wake up is I pick up my phone and I see if there's anything I need to attend to. I know it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm not recommending it to anyone, but I am very slow at waking up in the morning. So I need a buffer between, I mean, I always say good morning, Lord, or, you know, I have those quick thoughts, but I don't pray because I will fall right back asleep. And so the beautiful thing, I think I'm going to tell you guys my routine, but the beautiful thing is you partner with God in what your routine is supposed to look like. He made us all different. And I don't think there's one way that's right. But in general, so that's the first thing I do. And I'm trying to get away from that habit just because I would like to not be distracted. Because sometimes when bad news comes through the email, you're like, oh, I got to get up and take care of it. So I love having quiet time while the morning is still quiet before anybody's calling or, you know, I have to talk to anyone. I do it. I don't eat. I don't shower. I just go and spend time with the Lord. I sometimes worship. I put in some worship music and I'll just sing in my heart or out loud with him to a song. Sometimes I'll open the scripture where I left off and I usually am on a plan somewhere. Like, you know, right now I'm reading through the New Testament. And so, but most of the time, this is the most important part, I think, of my daily morning routine is, this carries out throughout my afternoon and it's how I end my day as well. But I start in the morning and I say, God, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for loving. I just give him praise and thank him for everything I can think of and say, is there anything I've planned for my day that you want to rearrange? Any plans I've made, anything you want to tell me about my day? I always invite him to speak to me through the scripture. I go expecting to hear from him through the word, that I expect what I'm going to read is going to minister to me and give me courage and strength and hope and joy. And the reason is because there was a season I was depressed and I didn't do that. I didn't know how to do that. I remember saying, God, you're good to everybody but me. And I would read the word and I'd be like, well, that isn't true. Or it's true for other people, but not for me. And the enemy used that to pull me into a pit and get deeper. And so now I don't give the enemy a chance. I start off with praise and all the things. And I found that when I expect God's goodness, I see it. So then the rest of my day, I eat, shower sometimes. I work from home, so I throw my hair in a ponytail. And I do ministry all day, whether that's coaching or creating things or running the nonprofit. And then I've gotten something I would say in the last few years, I didn't do well when I served in ministry at organizations. And that was I overworked. I worked through dinner. I didn't have boundaries. And so now I have dinner with my family. We always do that. And then I have family time. And then I close the day. And one of my favorite routines is I just love putting on the aromatherapy. Lavender helps me sleep. It relaxes me. And I spend some more time with the Lord and I talk to him about my day and let him correct me if I need to. I need to say sorry to anything. If I have to, you know, and then I pray for other people, throughout my day. Last night I prayed for my coaching clients that I was going to meet with today. And life happens. I fell asleep after one or two of them. So I prayed for the rest of them this morning. I don't know if that's even interesting to people, but I think the thing I would want people to know about a routine or a discipline is working into your schedule. Here's the coach of me coming up. What are the days, ahead of time plan? What are the days I'm working out and when? When are the days I'm scheduling rest? Where am I going to build space into my schedule so that when unexpected things come up, I'm not freaking out and stressed about it? Finding out what's important to you and then making room for it. So I schedule things per quarter, per month, per week that I know I need to do. So they're already on my calendar. So my day looks different every day, but really comes down to partnering with God in your day.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that, I'm telling you, this is all God ordained, because that is one of the things that even though I talk about it with others, I do struggle with it. That sometimes the day gets away from me, like today. Mm-hmm. Today is perfect example. You know,
yeah.
But it's because I didn't get this morning to share it with him. I got up and I was like, already up and go, up and go, up and go, up and go. And I'm like, I didn't slow down and prayed whether I need to be doing this. So now things that I did, I'm like, it could have waited until tomorrow. But, you know, that's because I didn't partner with him. You know, I didn't say, all right, Lord, today, what do we do? You know, what is it more important? You know, what's going on? You know, and you're right. So I appreciate that, because that's God speaking to me, because that's what I was struggling with today and actually yesterday too. So
yeah,
no,
all have days like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when the hardest days are for me, it's when I'm out of town speaking at an event where the people that are there really hope that I prayed that morning. But when I did one event where I spoke in the evening and then, you know, ministered to people late and went to bed, and I woke up just in time to shower, get ready, eat, and preach again. And it's in those times that, you know, I pray. How do I explain it to people? Like, I'm in a constant state of recognizing God in my day. So that's prayer too. Prayer isn't always sitting down with your fingers crossed and your eyes closed. Like, the daily conversation in prayer is, God, I need help. please speak to me today. And there are times where I don't get the time in. And I one time I went to the Lord and I was just telling him, I'm so sorry. And he's so sweet and gentle. And he said, you know, Jill, I've got things I want to tell you, like secrets, like exciting things. And we can meet later today. But like, I really want to do that. And if we think of God that way, like, he's got things he wants to share with us. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to make time for you and with you. But when we mess up, he's not mad. He's like, I'll make time for you when you're ready. I'm here. Yeah. So that's his goodness.
It is. I feel like he talks to me as dude. I think he has a personal relationship with us.
Yeah, you know? He talks to guys a little different than girls, I found.
Yeah, to me, he's like, all right, dude, get it straight. But I love that, because to other people, that's the thing is, I used to think that prayer was, like I was telling you earlier before, you know, we began recording, that it had to be some eloquent, using theology, using hermeneutics. And he's like, all right, cool. That's cool. But all I want you is just to make me a part of your life. You know, so it's the same thing I was telling people. It's like, when you pray, I'm already used to talking to myself, you know, all the time. So might as well incorporate that for God, right? So instead of saying, all right, Pablo, say, all right, God. You know, so I tell people, if you do that, you're halfway there. Just change your name and put God in there, you know?
Yeah.
Make him a part of your life. So absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I know it's kind of, it's someone out there's like, that's easy. You know, I didn't realize I had to, you know, just talk, you know? I don't have to, like you said, cross my fingers, get on your knees all the time. I mean, there's times where you do have to, you know, when things are going really strong and you don't know where to run and you're left with no hope, it's like, all right, on your knees, close your eyes, and just pray. And those moments are awesome, because I have plenty of those, and plenty of them are coming as well, you know?
Yeah. And even just when sometimes things are good, you know, we get on our knees and thank him, right?
Yeah.
And just enjoy his presence. So I think it's our heart position is the most important thing. And he knows it. There is no discipline that I would say, if you don't do this, you're failing in your relationship with God. Like,
correct.
The way that you discipline your day and routine with God is between you and him. But if you're not doing anything for long periods of time, you're going to start struggling. So I don't recommend it.
Yeah, no, he wired us individually, right?
Yeah.
So we got to use our own ways to, but at least, like I said, the main part is to make him part of our daily lives.
You know, yeah.
Have time for him.
For sure.
Now, we briefly touched on setting time apart for reading scripture, for praying.
Yeah.
The part that we didn't talk too much was about calling others to check on them. Is that besides your clients, have, you know, family, friends, is that something you take on?
Yeah, you know, I think it goes back to the daily conversations with God. There are times, you know, well, it's a lot of times at night when I'm talking, I feel like certain people come to mind and I'm like, well, I can't text them now. It's too late. but I have gotten in the habit of just, if God puts someone on my mind, I just pray for them and I'll send them a text or a voice message, just say, I'm thinking of you. And most of the time God is using that. But if I get an email from someone I don't know, I've created habits that I know that if I say I'll do it later, I'll forget. And so if I get a message on Instagram or Facebook or my email, I stop right then and I pray. And I may not be able to respond to them right away, depending where I'm at, but I will pray for them, you know, because I usually, when I'm checking those things, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not sitting with somebody or talking. So I think that that's important for us to be sensitive to the move of God. And you know, I've got some routines with family that, you know, I check in on the weekends. And again, it's just about making your space and making your schedule. So when I lived out of town, away from my family, it was hard because I have a big family, and so everyone wanted to talk to me every week. And I was like, this is so hard, because that meant I was on the phone all day Saturday. And so, you know, you just got to find ways that work for you.
In regards to scripture, how does it call to you? What's your motivation to read it?
Oh, because I'm a hot mess without it. That's the Texan in me coming out. So when I first got saved, I had gone to Awana as a kid. So I should just say that Awana is a kids program where you memorize scripture. So I knew the books of the Bible and I knew some verses. And so when I got saved, and, you know, even now, there are times where a verse pops in my head, or I'm just thinking of, like, all of a sudden that's coming to mind, and I trust the Holy Spirit is leading me. And so sometimes I might be like, you know, I just feel like reading the Psalms today. And other times it'll be a specific verse. But when I was first saved, I would wake up, and in my quiet time, I felt like I would sense in, you know, in my mind's eye, I guess, God tell me what book, chapter, verse to read. And it was really cool because it was always the theme, you know, like one day he'd teach me all about love or grace. And this is when I was first saved. And then eventually one day I went to him and I was like, God, what do you want me to read today? And he said, I taught you my word, now study it. And so I was like, okay. So often for me, you know, just seeking scripture, I'll have a plan of what I'm working through because I've read the Bible now, you know, so I can skip around. Then sometimes I'm curious in a topic, right? Like sometimes I just want to really study what God has to say about grace. And then I'll go on some, you know, tools on the internet like Blue Letter Bible or Bible Gateway, and I'll do some word searches and really study, what does that verse mean? I go down rabbit holes constantly when I'm in the Word. So it just is different.
But those are good rabbit holes, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There are I've done a few of those. Hermeneutics. I love hermeneutics. It's like, what's the author's intent? And then you're like, next thing you know, you're like three pages open on a browser, your Bible's open.
Right. And
it's so cool.
It's that rhema word that jumps off the page. Like it might be one word in the sentence, or it might be a sentence in a paragraph where you just are drawn to it. And those are the times where I'm like, ooh, God's talking to you. Like, go study it. See what else he has to say about that.
Yeah, it happened to me with Philippians 2:12. I love the part where it says, not only in my presence, but not much more in my absence.
Yeah.
It calls me every time because it's like I can close all the doors, all the windows, shut down all the blinds and everything. Could I be the same as if I was out there? You know, those are the times that I tell people, it's like, when you're alone, how do you respond? And that's what that verse talks about. I just, you know, those are the rabbit holes that I go down to. God designed me in a way to read, you know, in between letters and in between words. And sometimes I take one verse and the whole week I'm studying that verse because there's so much to it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Do you have a favorite verse?
I do. I have a couple, but there's one that, you know, sometimes you know, I don't like to say, oh, I have a life verse, because that kind of limits me and God. But I will say that the verse that I'm always drawn back to is Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's 3:20. And then 21 says, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I love that, because I've joked with God. I'm like, you said you're able to do more than I can ask or think. And I have another version says, imagine. I'm like, God, I have a really big imagination. And you can do more than that. I challenge you to the duel. But what's interesting is the next part says, according to the power at work within us. So he's able to do more than you can think, based on the power that's at work within you. And we know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, is in us. So it's not of our own strength, but it's Jesus in us that can do more than we even think we can do. So whenever you feel like, oh, I can't do this, God's like, I've given the power within you to do more than you think you can do. And so that's kind of been the story of my life, you know, starting with that job at the church. Like, I'm always in these positions where I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And he does it. And why does he do that? Why does he choose to use us? In verse 21, it says, to him be the glory in the church, us, the body of Christ, and in Jesus through all generations. So it's not just for us. It's not just for our family. We have the potential to partner with God, if we use that phrase again, to do more than we can imagine, but his power to bring glory to God, not just for now, but for future generations. We can leave a legacy based on our relationship with God. How cool is that?
It is so cool. You brought me back to a moment in my life.
Yeah.
And it took my, because I was doing a study called Men's 33.
Uh-huh.
And one of the pastors there, I can't remember his name, he's a famous pastor. Ooh, I hope I never interview him because he's going to get mad. But I forgot his name. But anyways, he said, what legacy do you want to leave behind for your children? Mm. So there's two kinds of legacy. There's the monetary legacy or the Jesus legacy. He's like, you can do both. He's like, but you want to make sure your kids know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, okay, well, I got to get back home. Like,
yeah.
So thanks for that reminder. I think that, you know, that's what we need to leave behind, right? I'm a firm believer that whatever God gives me and entitles me with in the blessings and the gifts, I cannot keep them for my own. I have to utilize them for building his kingdom for other people. And when we put them into action, wonderful things happen. Prayers are answered, and when prayers are answered, people tend to draw back to him, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just so cool.
It is cool. We may not even know it till heaven, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's, we don't know the snowball effect that we're having by just being obedient, and we shouldn't really focus on that, right? I mean, we mm-hmm. should, we can get, like you said earlier, you know, it motivates us to push forward, but we should just keep pushing forward.
Right. Amen.
What else are you feeding on your soul right now? Any books, movies, devotionals, music?
Yeah, you know, right now I have really been drawn to being outside as much as possible. And I think it's because, you know, I work from home, and so I'm often by myself just indoors, and I just hear God great in nature. So one of my favorite things to do is take what I call my prayer walks with Jesus and go to a park, and I'll, you know, kind of like what I said earlier, like praise him for everything, pray for other people, ask him for insight, make declarations of things I know he's doing in my life that my mind and my soul needs to be reminded of. So I just love being outside, and so, you know, sometimes it's not prayer walks. Like over the weekend, I went to a fall festival with my sister, and you know, we just enjoyed being together and being in nature. So that's kind of like hobby. I've been starting to get into like like things I never thought I would, but like I'm starting to learn more about aromatherapy and how to create house plants in the winter. I don't know why, it's just something I'm curious about. So I'm starting to do that. And then on a more serious note, I'm always reading new books because on my podcast, I'm interviewing new people. So I'm scanning new books. But I'm in a series right now of studying for my own personal growth on spiritual abuse. And so I've blogged about that because of a different church experience. Well, the first church I told you where I got saved, that senior pastor was married and he made a pass at me. And so I told the elders and there was, you know, he admitted it, which was great for me, but it was really confusing. And I learned a lot of spiritual abuse as manipulation and control. And so in different organizations I've been in, I was a new believer and I just wanted to serve Jesus so purely that I was manipulated to work longer hours or whatever. And I find now as I'm leading ministry, that's why I'm passionate about teaching people to love well, because I don't think those people meant to do it on purpose. It's just that that's what they've been trained. Somehow they were raised or they've had training and that we're supposed to sacrifice for Jesus, make more of him, less of ourselves, and all these things get twisted and then we don't have balance in our life. And so I'm really studying books on spiritual abuse right now, not only for myself, but also because I have so many people who come to me who want to be coached and just heal from some of that. So
thank you for that. It's growth is always growth, right? So
yeah.
I love this question because people always tell me, oh, I'm reading this book. I'm like, cool, now I gotta pick it up. I recommend it. So I have a long list of upcoming books.
Oh, sorry, I didn't give you there's one, it's a secular book, it's called The Body Keeps the Score. So for anyone who has had some sort of abuse, PTSD or anything like that, it's been really insightful into the psychology of how our bodies remember trauma.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'll research it. I think that'll be awesome to read, because you never know, right? You never know who's going to come in through the door and have that in their background, and we can at least say something positive, you know?
Right.
I don't know, it's such a terrible situation for someone to go through.
And
you know, to think that they can they have to do it alone, that's the hard part.
Yeah, you know,
they don't have to do it alone.
Sometimes there's a lot of shame associated with some kinds of abuse, so it can be confusing. You want to share, but you don't know if it's safe. And you know, one of the other books I read recently was called Whisper by Mark Batterson, and he wrote The Circle Maker. And he talks about the different ways God speaks. And I find books that tell me more about who God is really helps me when I'm going through some of the heavier material. Because it's all about being drawn back to focus on Jesus. Because whatever we focus on, we give power to. And so we want to make sure, even as we're going through hard stuff, that our focus is on the hope that we have in Christ. Otherwise, we'll get very critical and we'll be dragged down into, you know, anxiety, depression, and some of those things. So definitely a balance for anyone listening.
Yeah, it'll become part of the identity, and the identity should be you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Not the issue, not the circumstance. That's something I struggle with for a few years. Was that I would say I am this instead of saying I am a child of God.
Yeah.
I am part of his family, and I will always say, oh, I'm too angry. I am an angry person. I am a bitter person. I'm nothing. And it was like, Jesus is like, nope, you are my son.
Right.
And it's so many examples in the Bible that he gives that back to men and women. It's like, no. Whatever you guys said she was, nope, not anymore. She is my daughter. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And that's what he does for us.
Yeah.
What is one area you're currently or seeking to surrender to the Lord, and why?
It seems like I'm gonna compliment myself, but I know we all have strengths and weaknesses, right? But our strengths can become our weakness. So I am really driven, I'm really capable, I love excellence, and so I create courses and programs, and I love helping people and all of that. So what I'm doing a lot to surrender right now is I'm surrendering my ideas and my will to Jesus. Because sometimes my ideas and all that are great. They're really good ideas, but they're not from him. or they're not the right timing. And so, yeah, I'm surrendering that right now, even as I reevaluate as we head into every new quarter. I'm like, okay, God, this is what I planned for fourth quarter. What do you want me to do with my time and my ideas? And so surrendering my will is a big thing.
Awesome. This next question is highly important for me.
Okay.
A community of believers, how important that is to you?
Oh yeah, that's not important at all. I'm just kidding. That was sarcasm.
No, I know. Okay, so, I got it.
Okay, I was waiting for you to laugh with me.
No, I was waiting for, yeah, no, never mind.
There was no punchline because I'm not a comedian. Yeah, I should have skipped that part.
I was waiting
part.
For the drum.
You know? Yeah, sorry. Ba-dum-bum. Okay, so in all truth, I'm an introvert. And so introverts can understand community can drain me really fast, especially since people know what I do and they want me to help them hear God or tell me their, I'm just like a magnet for people telling me their woes. And so I can get drained really fast. So community for me, it's really important. And I think this is important for people to know. You have to find community that refreshes you. Community doesn't mean just be with people. And that's what I used to think it meant. And do life with people and be in a small group and all those things. And some of those things I was doing because I was told to, not because I was led. And so now community to me is so important to have those people. I talk about different circles. Like there's an inner circle. Imagine like three circles inside each other. And my inner circle is just two or three people. They're community for me. Their accountability, their love, their encouragement, their the ones that know everything. And then there's a little bit bigger circle. And then there's one even bigger than that. And so in each dimension of the circle, people get different information. They know different things about me. They can interact with me at a different level. And so I have different kinds of community, which is so much fun. And even the community that would be on the outer circle, if you see bunny ears with my fingers, that community is such a blessing. There's those people sometimes end up in the inner circle. And so community for me, I've right now with the way the world is, I do a lot of online. I'm a part of some leadership groups that we meet twice a month and we share testimonies and prayer requests. And these are senior pastors and leaders all over the country. So I'm a part of that community. Of course, my church community. And then I have community with people that I coach in these mentorship groups. I mean, I'm leading them, but oh my goodness, they fill my heart. So there's some examples.
Awesome examples. I believe the same thing. We all have different groups, you know. Yeah. I have friends that I confess things to others, and others, we just have a different relationship, but they have friends that they can confess things to others and struggle right. with them. And that's okay. But I tell people, it's like, you got to talk to someone that has the best interest of you and won't look down on you. And you can tell them something and they won't focus on the issue. They will focus on the solution. And that's what community is about. And you have to be selective. That's okay. Right. Because the other person's being selective as well. But, it also comes with accountability and being held accountable. So thank you so much for that refreshing look at community. Because I think most people don't realize that they can't just go out there and tell everybody, the whole world, things. It's like, no, be selective, please.
Yeah. And you don't careful. Have to take advice from everybody either. I mean, you can be gracious and listen. But I used to think that I thought so little of myself that I thought anybody who, had a job title pastor or anyone that I deemed smarter or more worthy than me, or I thought had this better, persona, I had to take their advice. And that isn't always the truth. You don't have to do what everybody says. You're not the boss of me.
No, not really. I tell friends and I've talked to people about this. I said, if you're hearing something, a sermon, a pastor, anybody telling you something, especially scripture, and are utilizing that, I said, read above and read below. And then read the whole chapter.
Yeah.
And like, why? I'm like, because you have to compare it to scripture. If you have any doubts, if it feels funny or you're not getting it, don't take their word for it. Take it to scripture. Because God will provide the wisdom. You pray before you do so. The Holy Spirit will provide any and all wisdom needed. I said, but don't take their word for it. You know, of course, listen to them. There's some great stuff that comes out of pastors, but don't live your faith from a pastor. Live your faith from scripture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's dangers on both sides too. Like pastors have twisted scripture to get people to do what they want, yeah, right? And then on the other hand, there's times we're, you know, hearing what we want to hear through scripture and we're cherry picking, you know, to make it fit our narrative or what our desires are. So it's definitely a balance of both. And as we grow in the Lord, as we grow closer to Him and in wisdom, we will learn what is of the Lord and what's not, and who to listen to and who to just graciously say thank you and move on.
Yes, those are, yeah, that's a big lesson. Yeah. I had a few of those myself. So, you know, I want to take this time for you to tell us more about your ministry. How can people connect with you? How can they reach you? What do you offer for them? And, you know, as much as you want to share again, or as little as you want to share. So please take this moment to invite us to your ministry.
Sure. Well, you can find everything at jillmonaco.com on my website. And Monaco is like the country, M-O-N-A-C-O. And from there, you can connect to all my social media, mostly on Instagram and Facebook. My handle's at Jill Monaco. And also on my website, there's a ton of free stuff. I've got a free audio course that it's a class called Living Free. I highly recommend it. I go into our beliefs and our emotions and our, you know, how to manage all that together and align it with Christ. And there's a workbook. And so jillmonaco.com/livingfree, you can find that. And then I also have some other courses. I've got one on overcoming fear, rejection, self-doubt, and jealousy. I have one called The Keys to Living Well, which is all about communicating well, reconciling well, transitioning well, and loving well. I have something for singles. I have a course for them. I've got some mentorship. So there's so much stuff there. Some of the things I charge for, of course, it supports the ministry, but there's a lot of free things that you can find there as well. So I would encourage you to check out the Living Free, or there's a Freedom Prayer Guide. That's kind of like a intro to some of the things I teach. That's also just available for free. So I would love to just any of the listeners that you know, want to say hi, you know, sign up for my newsletter and, you know, send me you'll get a welcome and then send me a message. I reply to every single email. So I just would love to pray for people or serve in any way that I can.
I checked out your website and it's really easy to get to, really easy to manage. You don't get lost. I've been to other websites and I'm like, I don't know where to go. You know, it's not easy. So I want to thank you for making this so easily available for others. So I will put the links on the episode description, and you know, once, you know, on the episode, you know, when it goes, I do a little promo on Instagram, so I'll make sure that all those links, you know, get sent out as well, so they can connect with you, because I think you're doing an amazing work. I really enjoy what you're doing, so we'll be in contact for other services, because I think I can benefit from some of the stuff that you do. Because I sometimes I get stuck and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to connect. Yeah. And I think this is why God connected us, because I've been praying for an answer. And I think you are the answer to my prayers. Aww. So we'll be in contact so for sweet. That.
Love it. Yeah. And if anyone wants coaching, there's a form, you know, to reach out to me and we can chat about what that would look like too.
Awesome. Now, Jill. I love our interview. I thank you again for being here. Thank you for sharing so much, for being vulnerable, for giving, you know, the wisdom that you've been received, you just imparted onto our listeners. I would love for you to leave something behind for that listener. Anything that your heart's calling out to say, you know, what would you like to say to that person or many people, whoever it is listening?
Yeah, you know, as we've been talking, I felt like there are some people that you feel like you've messed up too much, gone too far. God isn't, he just couldn't forgive you, or you feel like there's a distance between you and God and it's your fault. And I just want to say in Jesus' name that that lie is broken off of you. That's just a lie from the pit of hell. The enemy doesn't want you to have intimacy with God because he can't. So I just want to encourage you that God is more loving than you know. And there is nothing you have done or will do that will keep him separate from you. He will always pursue you and love you. And, you know, I think the other thing is I would love to just remind everybody that the key to growing in intimacy with God is to ask him questions and wait for the answer. Read the word, ask him questions about it, and then be quiet and still in prayer. And learn to hear his voice. Buy books. Do whatever you need to do to learn how to interact so that you can know that he's more loving than you know.
Would you mind closing us in prayer, please?
Oh, sure. Lord, thank you so much for our time today. Thank you that you showed up and you were listening to our conversation. And Father, I thank you that you smile upon us and that you are so excited to help every single person that's listening to know who you are in greater measure. I pray for all the listeners that they would encounter your presence, God, and just find incredible freedom. I pray right now for anybody who's stuck in addiction, that you'd be set free in the name of Jesus. Anybody that is walking in shame or fear, that would just leave. The spirit of fear has to go right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is so powerful and that Holy Spirit will lead and guide into all truth. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that sets us free. Father, I pray for every person listening that they'd have incredible encounters with you and be everything that you created them to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jill. This time was amazing. And I just can't wait for some people to listen to it, or a lot of people to listen to it. I don't know. That's not my under my umbrella. So I know they're going to get full, because my cup is full. And I thank you. There was a lot of things that I needed to hear that I've been praying about. And, you know, that's confirmation that we were supposed to be here today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Well, what an ending to an interview, right? Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Don't forget to share this on Instagram. Don't forget to share this on Facebook or any social platform. And you know what? We will love your comments and reviews. If there's anything you want us to change or add, or if you want to be interviewed, please let us know. Thank you so much. We're at any social media under Benching in a Kitchen. Thank you so much.